Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
I'm too sweet, and Mo. But anyways, this episode is going to be all killer, no filler. We don't have a lot of time and a lot of subjects to hit, so let's open it up with Capital Punishment. This being Father's Day, it was at the background of where I was. I was able to kind of pay attention, to follow the event, the proceedings, but I wasn't able to really watch it really, really in detail.
Really?
Therefore, I don't want to give a rundown like we sometimes do of pay-per-views, of events. I just want to give a kind of quick update on what occurred tonight.
Now, recap.
I know it was, yeah, exactly. I know it was your intention to watch it. Did you get the opportunity?
I got to, like you did, background.
Background,
there.
Okay.
So I haven't seen the full show.
So
see
it's not really
the highlights.
Fair to actually judge it in that way. So let's just talk about the major major points that we need to hit.
Major guns?
Yeah, let's hit that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so she's Canadian. Let's hit
and
the major
lesbian.
Points. And a lesbian. Excellent. Excellent. She's an
or
actress,
at least in,
is she?
Or at least in the movies she's being in.
Ah, okay. Excellent. Excellent. Well, let's hit the first couple, just again, as you said, the overview, the highlights. Dolph Ziggler.
Speaking of lesbians.
New United States champion. And Ezekiel Jackson, the new Intercontinental champion. What do you think of those two moves?
I mean, I'm not a fan. I think Wade Barrett is so much better than Ezekiel Jackson that I really don't understand why you'd want to put the title on a Jackson. Like, I don't see anything in Jackson, really. To me, he's a guy who could be a moderate star in a tag team.
Yeah.
You know, something along those lines. But I can see why they did it in that maybe they're thinking to themselves they want to push Barrett, and therefore you can't have him having the U.S. title.
Well, you know, I kind of thought that, but at the same time, as we'll get to, the feud must continue with Christian and Orton. You know, then you've really, what do you have? You have Daniel Bryan on there that's still in with Cody Rhodes, I guess. And
Sheamus is next in line, right? And then I would think that Barrett would be after that.
Well, yes, but we're talking, okay, if you're saying that, then we're still going, you know, all roads seem to be leading to Christian Orton still, you know, staying to SummerSlam.
Okay, that's not that far away, though.
It's a couple months, and then you're looking
at the fall. Two events before that?
We got Money in the Bank, right, in July, and then SummerSlam in August.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at, you maybe do September, October with Sheamus.
Yeah, they kind of go that
direction.
And
so then you're going Wade Barrett in terms
of course, they could try something new and not give the same matches on pay-per-views 7 or 8 months in a row. Therefore, maybe people would have an incentive to purchase one of them.
Oh, don't be silly now. But I'm just saying that then what do you do with Wade Barrett in the meantime and in between time, other than failed attempts at Ezekiel Jackson to regain the coveted Intercontinental Championship?
Even if you want to push him up, even if he's not actually challenging for the belt yet, maybe you want to push him into a main event status.
Well, that's
it's difficult to do that because the U.S. title is seen as a lower tier belt at this moment.
Intercontinental.
Intercontinental. Yeah, I forgot to keep on forgetting the.
I know,
but brand,
even regardless of that, there isn't a baby face to feud him with.
No, that's the real issue. Isn't
Zeke
it?
Is like the number two.
When they turned
baby
Christian,
face.
And I don't blame them for doing that, but when they turned Christian, they lost a solid number two.
Kane, I guess maybe, but Kane seems like he's. I mean, well, I guess everybody's on Raw and SmackDown, but it really. I think Kane's been more on Raw than on SmackDown lately with this Del Rio stuff.
Well, even, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but even look at if you go the number four heel on SmackDown would be Mark Henry. Tonight it appeared that he began a program, or at least is part of the program for Del Rio and Big Show.
Right.
So, but anyways, we'll get into that in a moment. So, anyways, that's kind of my thoughts on Barrett. I think we both
Barrett and Zeke. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if they're gonna do something with Barrett and the U.S. title, he has more potential. Leave it on him. If you're if you just think this title is death to a character like the King of the Ring gimmick,
right.
I guess then take it off him. But like you say, it's gonna continue. And I didn't. Word is it was a fairly good match for where Zeke is and Barrett himself fairly green and yet had a solid outing with him.
Yeah, I saw snippets of it. Nothing offended
really
to me. So
it was tough really to watch any match with Zeke.
Kofi and Dolph just seems to me, again, like same old, let's just continue wrestling on the treadmill.
Pretty much. It was a fair opener. I got to see quite a bit of that. It was a pretty good match, as you would expect out of these two, because they've wrestled each other somewhere
between 7 billion times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or $8 billion.
Well, you know, but the thing is, though, is it okay, so then Kofi Kingston, who's the generic mid-card champion, you know, that Intercontinental U.S. champion, loses the title to Dolph Ziggler, the generic mid-card U.S. champion, right? I mean,
yeah, we've seen this a million times when they were feuding for that same belt.
Mm-hmm.
Over on SmackDown.
I don't mean to call either one of those guys generic, because they're certainly not, but that's their spot.
That's their spot.
You know, not their liver spot, not their dog spot,
but their spot. Yeah.
But, and I don't expect, you know, if we do this or when we do this show this time next year, probably talking about the same thing, right?
Yeah, in fact,
throwing Jack Swagger to the mix. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Thing, right? And when we're talking about what's going on with this title in 2 weeks, it could very well be switched back to Kingston and about to switch back to Ziggler one more time.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I say, we've seen just we've said it before, the Intercontinental mm-hmm. U.S. title in this case.
Yes.
They think if you put it on pay-per-view and you have a fairly good quality match and you switch a title, that they're doing something with it. Mm-hmm. But the truth is they're not putting an interesting feud or storyline behind it, and no character development behind the characters regarding the title, then it really doesn't mean anything. So that's kind of what's happening with that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it is what it is, right?
It is. I mean, we had.
I have trouble looking at the world title meaning anything,
mm-hmm.
or the WWE title. So nevertheless, these titles.
Yeah. Well, precisely, right? I mean, that just shows you exactly where belts are in general, right? Then we also had a match that I was interested in, Miz and Alex Riley.
Alex Riley, mega reaction, but a solid reaction.
And he got the win. Which,
yes.
You know, Michael,
which is the right move at this point.
Well, exactly. And that was sort of what I was. That was a match that I thought A-Rai should have won, and he did. But I wasn't sure necessarily that they were going to pull the trigger on that. I went into that going, you know, they could go either way with this.
Yeah.
So
happy for that. It's good. It does. It does put a twist on the proceedings in that I don't know that everybody expected him to win, and therefore it's easier to continue that feud, though, again, 7-8 months in a row of people facing each other
yeah.
is not the way to increase business in this day and age.
No, but this is a new feud, so you
it's
get
a
bit
feud.
Of a
maybe
pass
you could have,
with
maybe
this
you
one,
could
right?
have 2 months, but other than that, you have to be careful.
You get a little bit of a little bit bigger.
So Big Show and Del Rio, and let me say, before the match, Big Show was attacked, his ankle, I put through a table, I believe. I didn't really see, I kind of looked over, I thought I saw a table down, and Show was on the ground, and he appeared to be limping. Did you catch what happened there?
I didn't see exactly what happened. I mean, I saw that, but I didn't see quite where it could have gone wrong, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was. I don't think that was a shoot. I mean, I think that was part of the angle.
Mm-hmm.
Was for.
But hell of a move there. It was just, you know, where he slammed him through the announce table.
Well, I mean, we saw and they really, you know, I know that I could hear the announcers talking about how strong Henry is and how impressive that was,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because they're doing the same thing with Jackson. But Jackson, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was actually impressive the way he did it. I mean, dude's strong.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's not nearly as strong as Mark Henry. You know,
right.
Maybe only two or three men in the history of the world have ever been. Honestly.
Again, now. And this is maybe a really stupid question as I'm about to say it, but what show is the Big Show on?
Big Show is on Raw. He was
okay. The Big Show is on Raw, and Alberto Del Rio is on Raw,
and Mark Henry
is on SmackDown.
But you have and here's what I wonder:
75 3-hour Raws coming up.
That's exactly
yeah.
it. In that we have a 3-hour Raw tomorrow. We have another one in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you have an excuse of, I believe that people would give a pass on if they actually mm-hmm. gave a shit
right.
about the brand split. But they don't. That's why WWE 12 exists instead of SmackDown versus Raw.
And my first thought when I saw Mark Henry coming out and bashing. The
I
Big Show
was hired, and it wouldn't go anywhere.
Well,
there was that.
But my thought was, shouldn't Brodeus Clay do that? You know,
yes and no.
That was my thought. Is that okay? Alberto Del Rio's got a big
I hadn't thought of
hired
that.
Gun to take out Big Show, and Mark Henry comes
I think
out.
There was kind of being
Clay?
Okay. He should be the guy. He should be the guy from continuity and from the fact that a young performer
it's
can
so
get
important.
A It is. But a young performer can also get a rub. But I think in the fans' eyes, they wouldn't buy it because of how he is being booked. So therefore, but they kind of would buy it with Big Show. And I mean, we've seen Show with Mark Henry. I mean, we've seen Show and Henry in the ring together before. In ECW and that type of thing, they had some horrendous matches. But the truth is, on a big scale, they never have really put these two
behemoths,
these two, performers in the ring together. Yeah. And a feud like that,
the world was a better place.
The match itself will suck. But a well-built-up feud.
But the promos leading up, good God.
Well, not the promos, no. But a well-built-up feud of the idea of these two, huge forces colliding could maybe appeal to some people. So, I'm not going to totally throw it away from that perspective.
I will.
Well, I see your point.
But we're going to get to match of the night coming up. They said we don't want to go through the whole card here. Ray and CM Punk had a tremendous match. In terms of the best match on the show. I did get to see all of this.
Did you?
I did. Yeah. I kind of want. I mean, CM Punk. I did want to.
I saw the end. I popped for that. I saw maybe like the last 2 minutes of the match. I really got a chance to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And it appeared to be a really good match.
It
from what
was.
I saw.
It was a good match, and Punk goes over. So
clean, right?
Oh yeah, it was. Go to sleep, middle of the ring.
Yeah, after a 6-1-9.
He picked him up.
He didn't do anything overly heelish before that, like spit water in a person's face to completely knock him out. Geez. We'll get there.
We'll get there. Randy Orton, Christian.
This is the match I sat and watched because their match the month before was probably, along with Triple H and Taker, the best match of the year within the WWE.
This was the part I got to see. This is sort of the after-dinner here.
In the Palacio home of Addy with the Golden Crested Studios?
Absolutely. And so I got to sort of sit down and see this kind of section. Story of the match, Randy Orton wins. Christian's foot was underneath the rope, and the referee didn't see it. So Christian has, again, that valid complaint. Although Orton then, of course, goes and lays him out with the belt.
Yeah, and from a storytelling point of view, in continuing to build momentum for the feud and giving it steam, it was good. As a match, I was a little disappointed just because it didn't hold up to the match before. I didn't see quite as much of... I mean, they had a match on television that was very good.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a tremendous pay-per-view match, which played so much off of the TV match. And this one felt to me... And I understood, I think it's because the other two matches were both baby faces, so it could come across like a competition,
mm-hmm.
which was fresh. Whereas this had a very much of a heel face dynamic, though the crowd, the male crowd was, there was a contingent of the male audience who was behind Christian regardless.
Right.
As far as the cheers. But, a fair match, but they can do better. But as far as the storylines continuing, if it's going to SummerSlam, I mean, they are becoming, I mean, how many times have we seen them now? Four times?
Three times? This will be, what do we got? If you include the TV match.
Yeah.
What do we have? TV. Then this will be three.
This will be three. I thought they had something else on television as well.
Well, they did.
Maybe it was some sort of three-way
or
something.
No, they've done number one contender.
Am I getting confused with Sheamus?
Sheamus, Christian was the ref, and then they had some number one contender, and Orton got involved. So, they've had a lot.
But either way, we've had them interacting a lot, and now you have to continue it not only for pay-per-views for 2 months, but that means they have to interact on TV for 2 months. And like I said, I do, as much as I'm a huge Christian fan of the work he's doing right now, you have to be careful not to, like I say, I mean, you don't want that to peter out before SummerSlam, and they are in danger of doing that, I think.
Peter. Orton with the concussion, though, I don't know how much, when you said you did a little disappointing in the match, I don't know how much of that factors into keeping the match short, keeping the match safe, because I thought it was a very safe match. And so Orton legitimately getting a concussion, based on, and they played that into the angle on SmackDown with Teddy Long. He had to do an impact test, which, for those of you who don't know, means you have to watch impact and stay awake for the whole show. And if you do that, then you're cleared to wrestle.
Yeah.
So most people fail.
Now, this next match that came up was interesting in that it's technically a semi-main event spot, which for the two performers in it, Jack Swagger and Evan Bourne, is an interesting spot. Unfortunately, that's also historically within their company's history where the women's match goes. It's a the buffer match.
I mean, you ever seen a Crimson match?
But Evan Bourne got a clean win over Jack Swagger.
Yes, he did.
I didn't see a lot of this. I didn't see a lot of it either, to be honest with you. But
I don't think it was very long anyway.
Yeah, it was. That's the thing. It was difficult to see it because it was over quicker than I expected. But I mean, I should have known that it wasn't a long match.
There was some
interesting chants going on in this match, and they had happened early in the evening. I think we'll get to those after we finish recapping what happened on the pay-per-view, but I'll just mention that.
Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, exactly. It's all right, you know. Unfortunately, it's difficult, even though Evan Bourne wins, and that's, I guess, an upset, it's difficult to, in any way, feel like it's significant.
Any truth to the rumor that they're changing his name to Bornowitz? Bornowitz wins.
I would love it if he came out to the same ring entrance music.
Da, 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 da.
And then we got to the disappointing, terrible main event.
Which, again, you were a little more upset about this than
Well,
than,
when I say disappointing,
I was.
It wasn't a great match, but I'm just pissed. The end was just stupid.
Tell the listeners what happened.
Well, basically, Truth was in control of the match. John Cena kicked out of his finish. Rolled to the outside. Truth followed him, began arguing with a Little Jimmy. I'm sick of the Little Jimmy gimmick, by the way. I'd like to see maybe if Truth started spelling it. How would that come across if he did that?
Well, we talked about this last week, but it would be J-I-M-E.
That's it. Anyways, J-I-M-E. He got into an argument with one. So this he takes this kid's drink and he goes to drink it. Instead doesn't. Gives it back to the kid. The kid splashes it in Truth's face. And Truth sells it like he's been injured, gets rolled into the ring, not hit with anything else, just hit right into the attitude adjustment.
There could have been ice in that drink.
There could have. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There could have been ice. He sold this like the same level as a chair shot is sold. It was crazy.
Is that kid getting fined?
And when you talk about the feud must continue, the announcers were trying to sell it like, Heel Cole was trying to sell it like, Cena should have been disqualified. Truth should get another shot, blah, blah, blah. The character's buried. The ending is stupid. The match wasn't that good. Some dueling chance again. The crowd's into Cena in one way or another, for good or for bad.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have gone on last, I don't think, because the quality wasn't that good. But I understand why it would. He's the company's star. Exactly. But, I'm done with it. I'm done with Cena, but I'm done with this.
Yeah. Well, and that ends being done with this, the PPV. One of the things that, as we talked about, that one of the chants that came on.
A couple times.
And a chant back on Monday Night Raw from his hometown of Long Island, New York. People just want to see Zack Ryder. And...
Well, people in Long Island want to see their hometown boy, for sure.
Well, okay, so then in Washington, D.C.,
it was an audible chant. It was a loud – the people that were Zack Ryder fans were loud, but it wasn't like the entire arena was rocking, cheering for him.
No, of course not. But this is this year's Daniel Bryan.
I think of it like Matt Hardy when he was gone from the company.
Yeah.
We want Matt.
We want Matt. There was the We Want Matt chant.
A lot of people didn't even know why they were chanting it.
No, but they did.
But it became a thing.
Similar with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't know why they were chanting Daniel Bryan, but they did. And Daniel Bryan came back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Zack Ryder. And this is it really is, and it sounds trite and cliche and very internet-y to say this, but there really is Ryder revolution.
Let's go from this. I mean, I feel like I don't know if anybody talks about Zack Ryder more than our podcast.
There's
almost nothing new to say because this is exactly what we said would happen, and it has happened now. I mean, my hope was initially that it wouldn't go like this, but I've been proven wrong, and you've been proven right in that argument we had quite a while ago.
I know.
And I'm mad enough to admit it. But
there's the surprise.
And man enough for your mom. But
yeah, that's not her.
What we're kind of seeing here is
she has a mustache.
Your mom has a mustache? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thicker than yours.
Thicker than mine.
Anyway, continue, my child.
Will she ever shave her back?
No, no. Friggin' yeah. Albert.
Prince Albert.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, what the hell, A-Train? What the hell was I saying?
I
don't even know. It's okay, not important. Because of you.
Zack Ryder, though.
Okay, I wanted to see. Go back and let's go through this past week a little more in detail for people. Monday night, what exactly happened?
Well,
including the fallout from people on Twitter.
Well, I was going to say, Monday night Raw saw from Long Island, New York. I mean, you start, there was a big, little bit of buzz. It was they allowed Ryder to do an article for Newsday paper, for the Long Island paper, just, you know, to run to talk about, of all things, talking about things like his show, and how does he feel that he's gotten heat, and does he feel that that's hurt him? And, you know, of course, these writers giving, you know, rightfully and smartly so, the proper answers as to, no, I don't think so, I think they just recognize my passion and blah, 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 right? And then he goes on Superstars.
Yeah, then he has a match on Superstars that night.
I believe.
Major reaction.
Against Primo, and wins,
mm-hmm.
But no.
it's kind of like. Well, actually, you know, go ahead. I'm gonna wait.
Well, I was gonna say, but he does that. But then, that's the internet, you know, show, right? So I mean, and by everybody's own admission, and by the stats you can see and hear, not as many people are gonna watch that as they're gonna watch the Long Island IZ story.
Or probably listen to this show.
Yeah. So what we're looking at there, then Monday Night Raw, you know, the show that gets the
more than
whatever.
People buy pay per view for TNA though.
Yes, more, yeah,
more
a few
than,
more,
more
yeah.
than nine,
more than nine, brother.
Yeah.
But you know, you're looking at 5 million people on average watching Monday Night Raw from Long Island. Ryder's not even on, mm-hmm. And that's when Ryder couldn't be on yet. Santino Marella could fight. I'm trying to even remember who he even fought. Michael McGillicuddy, I believe. Michael McGillicuddy.
But that was that. That's the
when,
setup of program.
But that, yeah, don't give a shit. That's where the chance started.
Okay.
Because this is the match that was like, to quote Ryder, "Are you serious, bro?
Yeah.
You could not put Zack Ryder on. You had to put, even if you had Zack Ryder against Santino Marella." Or Zack Ryder against Michael McGillicuddy. Whatever, you know, you couldn't.
Well, you could have done that. You could have had Zack Ryder versus McGillicuddy, and if you still want to continue the Santino-Kozlov feud versus Otunga and whatever.
The next
could have had, yeah, you yeah. could have had the finish they use a billion times every year on TV where a wrestler comes out. The other guy turns and is distracted.
And goes, what?
Oh, there's somebody at the top of the stage.
And Ryder gets the win.
And,
yes.
Yeah, and he rolls him up, gets the pin.
That's right. And that's very simple, and that took both of us about 30 seconds to come up with. And either A, I shouldn't even say that nobody thought about it, but no one wanted to run with it is essentially what it is. And as I told you, what the backlash was going to be was that nobody came up with it, so nobody's pushing for it, and now there's going to be...
was backlash from people on Twitter.
The funny thing is now that there's that...
Not just his fans, but other performers.
No,
peers.
Ziggler,
mm-hmm.
You know, his buddy Ziggler, you know, just said that was just stupid. Give us... I think his reaction was, you know, Long Island, give us... You know, give us Zack Ryder in Long Island.
Exactly. And,
Jericho.
And you know what? And it's gutsy for Ziggler to stand up and say that.
Yeah.
And he still got the title tonight.
Well,
so
yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Jericho, you know, was just like, this is ridiculous what they're
yeah,
doing
basically,
with him.
This
is stupid.
Just stupid.
You guys
yeah.
are morons, essentially, is what he said.
Basically,
he said
yeah, he was
he
really,
basically said
he wasn't
was
as politically correct as Ziggler.
Well, he didn't have to be. And
yeah, exactly.
He just said this was stupid, is basically what he said. But, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth or anything, but that was what he... He'd said it, and I mean, it is stupid. And so what we've seen happen is what we thought and feared would happen. Again, there's still time for them to come around on it. But as usual with them, as we belabor the point, and I don't know that, as I said, you can't really, as I said, hop in your DeLorean and go back to the future here. But once again, It's a situation where they're missing the peak.
Well, and it's something else. There's a couple other points I want to make here. Number one, when the We Want Ryder chant started, and they got really, really loud, they turned the audio down
yeah, they did.
On the show so that the home audience couldn't hear it.
He's the anti-Goldberg.
At the same time, when people hear that and then hear them don't see him and the audio gets turned down, subconsciously they start to cheer for somebody because they feel that person is being screwed with. And they feel like, what did he do to deserve this? And that's why you're getting people who don't really know why who are starting to get behind him. There's that psychology, just that underdog mentality of...
Nah, I think you're reading too much into that.
Nobody knows if they turned down the fucking sound. No, I think you're overanalyzing what I'm saying. Is that instinctively, you hear a guy being cheered for and you don't see him, and other people come and they start cheering for him. You go, yeah, why didn't I see that guy? And it's that sheep mentality of, oh, you know, and we've seen it before.
Well, I think it's a sheep mentality will just be that it would be during the chant.
Exactly. People who don't think about Zack Ryder now will start cheering for it because subconsciously yes. they will join along with the shit, right? Yeah, and they will recognize, oh, that guy, he's never on. Other people want to see
no,
him.
No, they won't.
Yeah.
No, they won't.
It's not conscious. It's subconscious. It is. And that's why you had that with Matt Hardy. That's why you had ECW chants from people who never saw ECW.
Mm-hmm. Well, Vince taught them to do that.
Yeah, bullshit.
No, but people just chanted ECW. They heard about ECW. Somebody told them about ECW, and all they knew was...
And that's what this is.
And same with Matt Hardy. At least when people were going, we want Matt, they go, we want Matt who? We want Matt Hardy. Yeah, Matt Hardy, where is he? Well, and then someone will fill him in on the story.
Exactly.
Okay?
When someone says,
we want Ryder, they're going, why are we chanting, we want Ryder?
No, what happens is somebody goes, hey, did you hear what they did to Ryder in Long Island? People were cheering for him, and then they didn't put him out, and it really pissed people off. And they go, man, what did that guy do to deserve that? Yeah, let's cheer for Ryder. And it's like I say, it's not even it's just kind of one of those things.
I don't think it's a very slow build, but that does happen.
Nah, it does. Yeah, happen.
Well, sure, like to three people. I don't think that even factors into shit.
Okay, then explain it.
All I told you is people are going to say, well, it's what I'm saying, is that when it was Matt, and people said, Matt Hardy, yeah, where is Matt Hardy? And we want Matt, and they're
going
to cheer for
people
Matt.
Going,
and they're going to
the
find out.
People didn't know the storyline, but yes. They go, we love
and
Matt, we want to see him.
Fucking find out, okay?
Not everybody found out who's cheering.
No. I'm not saying everybody, but what I'm saying is that when you get people like now Zack Ryder.
This is the dumbest argument we've ever had, because we're basically saying the same thing.
I'm just saying that when people chant for Ryder, it's a little different because they're not going to know and go find out. People will just chant, we want Ryder, okay, because everybody else is.
But if week after week people are chanting for the guy mm-hmm. and they never get him,
yeah.
they will start chanting louder because they'll feel sorry for him or they will feel...
I don't think many people really know who he is.
They don't even have to know who he is.
Okay.
A lot of them didn't know who Daniel Bryan was either.
Well, yes. And how long did that go for? Wow. And then they brought him back. So, I mean, it's just one of those things that we'll wait and see. The jury's still out. This is just, if anything, this is just the next chapter in the Zack Ryder story.
I have seen it before. You've seen it as well. With people who come out and they get a small chant and then a louder chant and a louder chant and builds every single week because they're asking for him and they don't see him.
Yes.
So.
But not recently.
Okay, not recently. That doesn't mean the phenomenon has changed.
I'm not talking to the phenomenon's changed because I don't give a fuck about the phenomenon because the phenomenon is shit depending on what the reaction to the phenomenon is. Okay? We've never seen the reaction to the phenomenon from this regime.
That's true.
Okay?
I'm not saying that means we're going
to
get him.
No, but that to me, and that's why I'm saying, is that this, we went about the Long Island, the true Long Island story, and now he's going on, and that was, for lack of a better word, chapter one of the Zack Ryder story. Here we are now, chapter two, is that the broskies of the week and those people that are watching the show are now becoming a strong vocal minority, at very least in the Northeast. I mean, who knows when they take the show to Texas, and they take it to Iowa, and they take it to Calgary, you know, what's going to happen. But this is the vocal, very vocal minority that's starting to, and again, they're going to chant, and people are going to chant along with him and bring the sheep in. And so this, to me, is chapter two. I will wait to see chapter three,
because that guy beside them is chanting, not just because he's chanting, but because they're going, that guy wants to see him, and he never gets to see him. This sucks. There's an anti-establishment mentality partially behind why this thing gets over, why these things gain momentum.
I don't know that that's really there right now. I don't think that anti-establishment.
We'll kind of see. We'll see. This is one we can table for a while.
Yeah.
I'll say this though: this is nothing here that's new as far as how they treat people in their hometown.
No.
They had a raw. I mean, I'm not just talking about humiliating people like
JR.
They've done that regularly too. Let's look here in Calgary, where the crowd came and was chanting for Lance Storm. They brought him out at a heat, but you never saw him on Raw.
That's right.
The last time there in Calgary was shortly after Bret Hart had rejoined the company. He was in the building. They'd even advertised him.
He was in
the crowd was chanting and going crazy for him all night. They brought him out after the show was over, and basically many of the people had already left.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that's groundbreaking about their attitudes and how they do things here.
No, not at all. But
there is a lot that's stupid about it.
There is a lot. You are correct that there is a whole shitload that is stupid about it. Speaking of stupid, I want to hit a couple points. Today, the ultimate stupidity. Today, June 19th, It was on this day, June 19th, that Total Nonstop Action Wrestling debuted on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to throw that out there, speaking of stupid. Moving over to stupid, continuing with Total Nonstop Action, Desmond Wolfe.
Fuck, really?
Released by TNA, finally.
Yeah. It's a strange... The thing is about Desmond Wolfe is they just put him on. They have a international show and a internet-based show that manages to be seen by even less people than Superstars.
Is it run by the International Drainage Commission?
I'm not sure, but I can tell you this. It's called Explosion. And Desmond Wolfe had been off TV for months and months and months. Then he's brought back and made commissioner, then he's released, which again makes you realize they have no clue or plan or ideas or long-term anything. We don't know why it was he was released. We don't know why it was he was taken off TV. At first, it was just speculation that he had been injured or that he had gotten too over and won that poll that they had and all that type
couple
of thing.
A couple times.
Yeah, exactly.
That, yeah.
And then all sorts of crazy rumors started to fly about his health issues and stuff. Yeah. So the truth is we don't know. But here's the problem. The guy's quite young still. I think he's like 31, 32.
Yeah.
He's just really entering his prime. Tremendous worker, tremendous talker, good look.
Yeah.
Now he's gone from TNA and has already previously been signed by the WWE shortly before debuting with TNA. He was signed at the same time as Daniel Bryan and was released because he had failed a medical for them. So he really can't go there. So his career will probably never meet its potential within the North American market due to this. And that kind of sucks.
You know, Sinclair Broadcasting, ROH.
If they grow, and he was their champion, a long-term champion for them, like a 15-month reign, tons of tremendous matches at one point.
I was going to say, and regardless of whether he's a champion, I mean, just him being there and having some great matches.
If he's capable of still performing.
Well, if he is,
ring,
and again, that's right, we don't know. So,
but if he is, and I mean, we'll still get to see him, but I'm talking, I thought this is a guy who on a national level could have been as big a star as many other performers, as big a star as a Kofi Kingston at least, or bigger.
Again,
as big a star, and I'm not sure if he's working for ROH that he'll ever get a chance to fulfill that because we don't know ultimately how far that company is going to grow under Sinclair Broadcasting.
That's where
the shame is. I think is that it's just he'll never get an opportunity to be. Nationally as recognized as he should have for a season.
And again, I just the thing is that I wonder, I wonder about, what the mystery of the release is. There's something there.
We may never know.
Well, we may never know, but there is, because the story hasn't come out, okay, there's something there, and we
there's something there.
And you want to respect
like the
his privacy,
story.
Right?
We'll never know the details of that rumor, perhaps.
And you want to respect his privacy, and it's obviously something that didn't get out for a reason, And so, you know, but it could be something that his...
But we don't know if that's because of him or somebody else within the company, and it really is difficult to say.
If it was because of someone else in the company, it would get out.
I don't know about that. If only a few people within the company knew why, and he was trying to be a good soldier and keep his mouth shut, then not necessarily.
People would get out.
Maybe. It depends on how many people know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, how many people know with Vince, right?
Well,
and Macho, right?
That's right. That's right. So
you really don't know.
Okay. Well, it's keeping with TNA. Double J, the new AAA champion in Mexico. We saw at the end of Impact Wrestling that he said, you know, he was going and he was moving
this
to Mexico.
AAA champion of Mexico. This occurred at the equivalent of WrestleMania for
Triple
this promotion.
Mania, yeah.
Triple Mania, yeah.
And, you know, he did say at the end of it he was moving to Mexico. Well, now he's the AAA champion. So there is a possibility that, you know, that Jarrett could be off TNA television for a few months and just be a regular down in AAA for a while.
It's kind of strange. The relationship with AAA and TNA is very strange, if you ask me, because of the relationships that people in power with the two companies have had with each other and illegal issues and such in the past. But
business is business,
exactly.
I mean, yeah, and you're talking, and I mean, Conan there and Jeff Jarrett, of course, coming in. And
Conan sued Jeff and Dixie and everything like that,
yeah.
Right? And I believe
the rooster.
He won.
And he did win, I believe.
He should have won, yeah. So what we are seeing here, though, is I'm not sure if it's just a bone being thrown to in order to make up for the relations, or if it's kind of a long-term cross-promotion between these two companies. AAA does need to do something else, because both them and CMLL in Mexico are under the threat of losing more of their stars to the WWE, as well as losing the market share as WWE expands into that country.
Right.
So they do have to do something quite aggressive, and that's why there was talk that they would perhaps be working with each other for the first time ever.
Possibly ruthlessly aggressive.
Or toothlessly.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, they're going to kill their competition.
Totally.
But anyways, what we need to see here is kind of how this shakes out over the next 2-3 weeks before we can really talk about it.
Sure.
You know,
but I just thought I'd throw that out there.
It's an interesting start to whatever is going to happen.
Yeah, and speaking of staying in Mexico, Averno was unmasked, lost the mask match.
We ever get a chance to really talk about Averno?
I don't know. Well, then,
we get so many topics so quickly. So
I know.
Really,
well,
I don't know that we ever did, but essentially he was one of the top two heels in the company, and was hired by WWE previously. Had not been hired when he had a tryout because they felt he was too old. I think he's like 32 or 34 or something. But what is being brought in because Sin Cara said that's the person in the world he could have the best matches with. Brought in specifically, worked with Sin Cara and get him over.
That's right. Yeah. So and then of course he was denying it in terms of kayfabe for this match and of course now he's lost in all indications. Of course his father's saying it, Conan's saying it. They just so
he's going to WWE.
He's on his way, and we'll wait and see how that plays out.
Yeah.
But
we should see him fairly soon. We're not going to have much of a lag.
I wouldn't think so, no.
Yeah.
No, if he's ready to go and they want to pull the trigger on Sin Cara now, I think maybe what you do
they're continuing to do everything they can for him. Highlight
well, maybe you keep
that
tag match there with him, Brian, against DiBiase.
Yeah,
and
that
Rhodes.
Way he can come in, do the hot tag maneuvers, and still learn the psychology and maybe the language a little bit while working in a tag match. So that's cool with some really great workers like Daniel Bryan.
If you do that for four
Rhodes
or five
and
months, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if you could do that for four or five, I said months, but I meant weeks, and then Averno can come in now, and then boom, there you can go, right?
Exactly.
So, you could do maybe an Averno Sin Cara match at SummerSlam in Los Angeles, where a lot of the Latino population
that's
is
another thing
be
is,
there, right?
Is that you can't deny the fact that to the Latino population. I mean, if they went into Mexico and went in their major stadium and the main event of WrestleMania and they held it in Mexico was Rey Mysterio versus Sin Cara, they could sell probably 110,000, 120,000 tickets, you know. It would be a huge deal for them there.
Right.
This would still be a big deal. This is still, for that population base who's familiar with these performers, a really big match.
Yeah, and I think that's a SummerSlam match and being in Los Angeles. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Just looking at... I'm just trying to look at my my notes here just to see if there's any other...
We can work with the notes. We can make an interview call. We have a couple guys that we were planning to talk to tonight.
We are. One more topic, I guess, just before we hit that is...
How about our scoop? Or are you going to get to something else?
Well, we can talk about the scoop because we just... Over the next... we should be able to get this on next
week's
show. I'd
say within... I don't know. We did a show. We're doing a show tonight, Sunday, and we'll be recording another show next Sunday. And we hope to record another show midweek next week if all goes as planned. So either the show next Sunday or the midweek show, hopefully we'll have on what we were able to do today at the Calgary Entertainment Expo. A visit with Diamond Dallas Page, and that was also taped for video in the YouTube video.
Yeah, we'll
should be up before it's our audio video, an entire interview as well. And we had a great time with him. He's a great guy, and we really appreciate it. I mean, honestly, just a great guy.
Oh, he was. And, yeah, a good time. We had about, I don't want to say 15, 20 minutes maybe with
something
DDP.
Like that
so
with him, yeah.
That was really good. So that's going to be coming up in the next sort of week
well,
to 10 days.
Well, I think it was 15, 20 minutes just to get warmed up on YRG.
I think so, yes, yes, and Arthur. So I think, is it as Mo had said, probably next week we'll have the video up on YouTube, and then the actual audio here we'll have into the show probably about a week to 10 days.
Yeah, we have to
now
clean up the sound. Unfortunately, it was done on the floor of the convention center, and it's just a very loud environment. So
a lot of things
going on. We need to clean up the sound a little bit, but you know.
Well, another guy we were hoping to have there was supposed to be there was Kevin Nash, but as DDP actually told us, Nash couldn't be there and had to cancel because he was. Offered a role and, of course, took with Tom Cruise movie that he had to go shoot called Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. So, I guess Kevin Nash, that's our scoop.
That's our scoop.
Kevin Nash. Going to be in the movie Rock of Ages.
With Tom Cruise.
One of the
biggest movie stars in the world. And a big, big fan of Gold Dust. And meat, yes.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, that's cool. So if you want to tell everybody you heard that here first,
you'd be
please,
right.
We would appreciate that.
You would be right.
Yeah.
So we want to hit up a guest. I know you were going to get one of the commentators on.
I have. This guy's been, well, I mean, we promised him a little while ago, and
yeah,
things just haven't worked out. Yeah. And, you know, we're recording this fairly late in the evening here in Calgary, and we know it's even later in...
in Washington, where he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, in Washington, yeah. Where he's... Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so from his hotel room, I think... let me get him on the line here. Let me just...
Okay.
King Booker!
Yeah!
Booker T, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine, Mo. Thanks.
Excellent. And what do you think of tonight's show?
Oh, man, it was a blockbuster. Top to bottom, just some of the greatest action you ever see.
Yeah, excellent. We're going to head back a little bit into your career here. You know, obviously you started off, was it UWF, was that where you banned?
It was Global.
Global, that was it, thank you. Global, you were G.I. Bro, and then quickly moved on with your brother, Booker T. How many times were you World Tag Team Champions?
Ten times. I thought you were going to stop at ten. WCW champions.
Okay, we got the point earlier before.
Ten times, Mo.
Really? So how many times?
Ten times.
No. Oh. Okay, we got it. Booker, so okay, you guys, apparently you had the titles 10 times, so tag team wrestling.
I think
wrestling.
So, maybe. I didn't count.
What's the psychology? You know, how did you guys approach it? What made you guys such a successful dynamic team?
That continuity, Mo, so important. You cut the ring off on these guys. You know, you got to be conscious of the count. You got to count of five to break it. You know, we don't want to risk a disqualification, you know, each time. You can't win the title by count out of disqualification. So, you know, you just...
Those are the rules.
Those are the rules. And so you cut the ring off. You do some quick tags there, you know. But me and my brother...
Do you take a body part and work it?
You focus. You got to focus on the body part because, you know, a lot of the guys we would fight like the nasty boys. You know, they're nasty boys. They ain't technically sound, but they'll hurt you. They're brawlers. We have to out-quick them.
Ah.
And that's what we did.
Okay. After that, you went on a singles career. How did you approach the change in your career from being a tag team performer to now?
Now, Mo, I always had a heart of a champion. You know, you got to leave it all in the ring. You got to pull out all the stops. You know, as I said, I thrive on competition. You know, I always looked for, you know, just wanting to get things done by myself, because you can't rely on anyone else out there. You just gotta hope the ref called right down the middle. You know, he's you know, not biased, and you rely on yourself out there. You don't got no partner on the ring apron to tag out.
Yeah, I don't know if I really got behind the psychology of what was going on. Well, maybe. Yeah. I've heard all those things before, is what I'm saying. It's all right.
Mo. Just call it like I see it.
Okay. Now, when you call it like you see it as an announcer, how is it you kind of sell the excitement of the moment?
You know, you gotta feel it. You gotta feel it. You can't just, Mo, there's nothing you can prepare for. You just go out there and feel it. You know, you know. When a guy is just when he's wasting time, you know, you got that knowledge, that insight, because you've been there, you've been in the squared circle, you know.
You know what it's like when you're sitting there and it's almost a three count.
When it's, man, when that gets down there and Randy Orton hits an RKO and 1, 2, 0, and it's 2 7/8. It's, you know, that's what I like about it. That is what I like about it.
Yeah, okay. Is it, and, yeah, you like that. You also like Sheamus, don't you?
Yeah, Sheamus. That's what, you know what I like about Sheamus? He gets him up in that slam. He gets the fingers locked. Comes down, man. Are you kidding me? He just knows. And that's what I like about Sheamus.
Ah, that's, he just knows. That's what you look for. He has that it factor, right?
He got that it factor, Mo. That it factor, it's so important. He knows what to do in that ring. He gives 110%, you know. He hits that thing, and I'm like, what a maneuver! Because it's just unbelievable.
And what about, though, he sometimes cheats? Does that bother you?
If you ain't cheating, Mo, you ain't trying.
That seems like a defeatist attitude.
Are you kidding me?
All right. Well, Booker T, thank you very much. Anything else you want to say before you leave?
Yeah, Mo, thank you so much for having me.
You know, as we talk
wrestling, you are just an incredible person. You are a fat fuck.
What?
But it is great, always great, to talk to a big fat fuck like you. We talk wrestling. Now, can you dig that, sucker? Wow.
Well, you didn't have to call me that.
Sucker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's rude.
That hurts.
All right. Booker T, any other topics? Addy, you seem to be hitting them here today. You're writing them off. And
I'm prepared.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, you know, Booker T. Let's stay with WWE then. A couple of – we talked a little while about some tryout matches that they were making some guys
right.
do. Trevor Murdoch saying in some recent interview that
I'd like to have Trevor Murdoch on the show someday.
I would like that too. He could sing for us, maybe.
That's right.
And Trevor Murdoch on his way back. I believe it was so long ago, but I believe he was one of the guys we talked about when we were talking who would we fill up our mid card with. I remember we were talking about Albert and stuff, but
Trevor Murdoch's one of the guys. Well, he's on his way back and going to hopefully do just that, is fill out the mid-card and do it
now,
quite
since
nicely.
He left the WWE, he was with TNA for a short period.
Doc Holliday?
I don't think it was Doc Holliday. It was something like that.
Something.
It really didn't work out very well. He wasn't featured very well or used very well.
Buddy
in WWE,
Holliday?
He was featured. I don't know that he was used very well. I really like him because he is a good worker. He's athletic despite... He doesn't have the Dusty Rhodes. He doesn't look like what you think a modern athlete would look like. But what he does have is a surprising level of athleticism.
Well,
and some really cool moves. He's a good worker. He's got a good persona, a unique look which they need more often. And I don't exactly see him challenging for the world title, but I am really looking forward to seeing him back there and hope that they don't screw with him.
Jethro Holliday.
Thank you.
You know, it's one of those things. Yeah, I'm with you in that. I hope they don't fuck it up. But you know, just and when I say that, it's just you've got to hopefully be able to use him correctly and maybe feature him or at least if you're going to hire the guy back, then you know use him for something more than just being a jobber. I guess is what I want to. Sort of look at. So I would like to see him in that, why not in that Intercontinental title, U.S. title
hunt. You say that, it's like my first instinct is the same thing. I'd like to see him in that Intercontinental U.S. title hunt if those titles meant something, because I think he's a good performer. When they mean nothing, it's kind of like, boy, I'd like to see him in that, but too bad those mean nothing.
Yeah,
like,
but I mean,
back to that,
yeah,
right?
But you know what? The thing.
But at least if he was in there, if he was in there working with a Kofi Kingston, at least I would freshen things up.
A Kofi or a Dolph, it depends. Heel, face, Kofi, a Dolph,
Wade
Barrett. I would think so too.
Yeah, but
I mean,
it was just fresh. At least a new guy who can work, who's at that level, right?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, unfortunate part about his partner. You know, it's Cade not with us, right? So
yeah, no. That, well, Linda McMahon.
She knows that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sticking with WWE here really quickly. And
by the way, we have a lot of new listeners. We just mentioned we once did have an interview with Linda McMahon. Go back into our archives.
In the archives, get it on YouTube, on iTunes, I'm sorry. And our RSS feed.
Arguably our best ever interview until the one we had today with DDP.
Yes, that's true. That is very true. Where was I now before you so rudely interrupted me? I stuck with WWE. Trevor Murdoch come back. Some pre-Raw workouts in the ring were Chris Hero and former WWE signee Claudio Castagnoli.
Yeah, Claudio can't. I think they're just using Claudio just to see how Chris Hero was, because Claudio doesn't have a green card, so he can't work in the States.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
For those of you not familiar with it, he was hired and was let go for that reason. Because Johnny Laurinaitis, Johnny Ass, is an idiot.
Well, not and. Because.
Because afterwards he just went and continued to work for ROH. Castagnoli is the guy I look at and I go, he's like 6'4".
Why isn't he there already is what I look at.
Yeah, he's 6'4" and extremely well built.
Yeah.
And a very good worker and a good persona.
Yeah.
Just somebody they'd look for. Hero's arguably even better than Castagnoli. Castagnoli is extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
I really suck for ROH to lose these guys, and for those of us who like seeing them in long matches that fulfill the potential.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you want to see these guys. They deserve it, to make as much money as possible.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Hero has really worked on his look, which was an issue. He's had a good persona and been an excellent in-ring worker for a long time.
Yeah.
He's improved his build. He's still not the ideal physical specimen for the WWE, and I'm not sure that they don't have to bring them in as a team, but somebody should be using these guys on a national stage, and because they are damn good.
Yes,
they're both damn good. They're both I believe Chris Harrow arguably top 10 in the world, and Claudio top 30. So
yeah, well there you go. I thought we would. Maybe briefly scooch back over to the world of TNA.
Yeah.
And we've got, of course, our weekly
We have a weekly feature that we've been doing for a couple weeks now. It seems very popular, and we're going to get to it. It is the Hulk Hogan Bullshit of the week.
All right. Well, this week's Hulk Hogan Bullshit involves the fact that, according to the Hulkster brother, he missed a phone call from Russell Hobbs Incorporated, and because he was out. And so, instead, they didn't get an answer from Hulk, so they picked up the phone right immediately after and called George Foreman, and there began the George Foreman Grill.
Which is a multi-million-dollar franchise.
It was to apparently be called and known and branded as the Hulk Hogan Grill.
One phone
if
call.
If he just wasn't out... You know,
that call.
Or, you know, more accurately, you know, it wasn't the fact that he was out. It was the fact that he didn't let Nick drive.
Yeah.
Because
and
if he let Nick drive, they would have been out and back in no time.
Yeah. And
been
apparently,
trying to get the call.
Apparently, from what I understand, they got hung up somewhere. But, yeah, I know. It's just too bad also that this guy, you know, despite all his money, apparently no answering machine. Or voicemail on his phone.
Just
a shame.
No. But I mean, no. But even if he did, he didn't pick up the phone.
And it would leave.
And you have to
You don't want to work with somebody for millions of dollars and have to leave a message for them to get back to you.
You have to make these multi-billion-dollar decisions.
Instance, yeah, exactly.
When immediately.
That's why when he meets with Chrysler.
And
GMC
McDonald's.
Or McDonald's, he does it right away.
That exactly, right? I mean, you don't fuck around.
And explains the TNA is not a strip club.
Yes, yet. But the other thing, let's talk about TNA, and let's talk about this in
fuck, really?
Yeah, but let's talk about, okay, well, I was going to talk about it in a positive way, but but instead, let's talk about...
You have news that they're being canceled. Let's talk about it in a positive
yes,
way.
Yes, well, actually...
That's our other scoop.
Let me go with the positive.
Thing?
Let me
okay,
go with the
right,
positive
the
here, because we talked to DDP. And positively page today.
Living life on, 90%.
On that note, the main event of Destination X, Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels 3.
Yeah, and first match, amazing. Second match,
equally,
really, really you know, tremendous.
And I should say equally, but good, great.
What's interesting is I'm not sure... I'm not sure how many of you who listen to this podcast regularly watch or buy a TNA pay-per-view.
Well,
but
regularly buy a
you.
TNA pay-per-view.
Well, nine of you do. But I am begging you, we have any sway, buy this pay-per-view with these guys on top and send a message to this promotion, please do it. And from an in-ring action perspective... An all X division show with those three on top in the main event, you're not going to be sorry.
Well, that's
we're buying it.
You know that's you. Well, we are, and it's true.
We don't buy that fucking shit.
It's what?
And we don't buy that shit.
No, God, no, no. I'm trying to remember the last TNA pay per view that
I think it was the last time those three were in the ring together.
Very well could be.
Yeah.
Very well could be. But, I don't know that it'll send a message.
It's not just
that
we're marks for them, though. That it is a chance to send a statement.
Well, you've also got Austin Aries.
They won't listen, but, you know.
Austin Aries.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Who looked great.
A-Star?
Austin. The Austin Star.
The Austin Star.
But, you know, he had a great match. Was it him and, it was him and, Jimmy Rave and Kid Cash?
Kind of a tryout,
Thursday.
Essentially.
Well, the winner got to go and have a match at Destination X, and of course Austin won. So,
yeah. Which is kind of how we got in the company originally, if you'll recall. What they did was, originally, they I can't recall who was the X Division champion at the time. It might have been Chris Sabin. But I can't really recall who, or Daniels. I believe it was Daniels at the
time. Could be, yeah.
What they did was they had a poll with their fan base saying, what independent wrestler would you like to see compete for that match? And he won this poll, and he was an independent wrestler at the time working for ROH and was brought in.
That's right.
And for a one-shot at the time and then came back a couple months later.
That was when they were only on the internet, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
I think when they were in their that dark period there.
When the booking was maybe at its best.
Well, I think the booking got to be at its best when they...
hired Russo?
Yeah, oh yeah, fuck. No, when when they got... I enjoyed it. I thought they peaked when they first got on Spike there on the Saturdays. When Sting was coming in, Christian was coming in, the Dudleys came
before
in.
Before they hired Russo?
Yes.
Same. It was around the same era, though. It was good stuff. Right. Not when they hired Russo. I'm just saying this bringing fuck. In of
heart attack.
Aries.
So speaking of Russo, Bound for Glory.
You have to take a shit. Is that what you're saying?
Bound for Glory series, the tournament. This has.
I did not watch. I say this. I didn't watch this last Thursday's show.
Okay, so let me explain this. Do you know about it?
But also, I have to say, I've been told very in-ring, heavy-focused show.
Yes, it was. And wrestling matters. But speaking of Russo. Okay, I'm just going to go through for the benefit of those of you with flash photography, and if you don't know, the tournament. I guess it's a series is what they're calling it. The winner gets a turkey, right? No. This is something that's going to be going on, culminating at No Surrender in September. I don't know the exact date in September, but the September pay-per-view is when this is going to culminate in terms of there are 12 participants. It's AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, D-Von, Bully Ray, Crimson, The Pope, everybody's favorite, Gunner, James Storm, Matt Morgan, RVD, Samoa Joe, and Scott Steiner. So those 12 are going to be in this dealio. Based on performance, if you win via submission, you will get 10 points. If you just get a pin, 7. A count-out victory is 5. A DQ is 3. And if you go to a draw, it's 2. And if you get disqualified, if you get yourself disqualified, you will lose 10 points. Okay, that's how this bracketing or this point system is working. The top 4 are going to be in a four-way, a fatal four-way, at that No Surrender, and with the winner getting a shot at the champion, whoever that may be, at Bound for Glory. So what do you think about this Bound for Glory series?
Okay, there's some good things about it. Number one, you put those guys in there. I can't look at it and go, oh, this guy's the winner. That's cool. You know, I mean, there's a few different directions they could go.
Mm-hmm.
They also have the opportunity to kind of see how the reaction is and how the good the matches are, mm-hmm. and change it upon that.
Right.
I actually, if you'll recall, about 4 or 5 years ago, suggested something very similar for the WWE.
Yes.
But I kept it a lot simpler. I do think...
Get out of here.
Yeah, I think the big issue I have is you have all these different scoring methods. It's going to get too complicated. Now, I had suggested this, that they had a series with undercard guys, that the winner could come out of that an upper mid-carder all those years ago, but also that this would make matches on the house shows mean something because you could track it via the internet and it would be something that was important. And that was why I was suggesting for the WWE at the time.
They are apparently going to do series matches on their house shows.
Yes, but again, I think when you start talking about 10 points, 7 points, 5 points, 2 minus, it's too much. It's too complicated. And that's where you have a good idea, and I already think you fucked it up.
Well... Yeah, it's one of those things that, okay, A, I have zero confidence in them doing this, you know, properly, but it is something that, you know, it's one of those TNA ideas that on paper has some potential. I mean, you can take it and you can go where, you know, if you have
was my proposal for a new King of the Ring style tournament.
Right.
Was I said they should do it from WrestleMania and have it culminate with the winner getting a title shot at Royal Rumble, like a 6-month build.
Well, I'm looking at,
or 9 months, 6 months of the tournament to culminate as Survivor Series and have the champion.
A lot of different stories can come out of this. I mean, the one that comes to the top of my head is that, you know, the top 4 are solidified and set right, you know, a week before the pay-per-view. And, you know, it's Bully Ray is one of the 4. and he gets himself disqualified and loses 10 points, and that'll allow, say, Samoa Joe to sneak into that four-way part of the match,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And Bully's all pissed and, you know, and goes after do whatever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so
you've
got some ways if they decide to do it. I like the idea of
the point series culminating personally with a I would have it culminate with like the second and third place guys fighting each other, and the first place guy being a heel fighting the last place guy, who's like a baby face, right?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you would have there's so many different interesting storylines that would be fresh that could be created from something like this.
Well,
and then you could also have if it was successful, you could have a playoff style thing afterwards where you go, okay, the top 12 guys, but the top 4 would qualify for the playoffs from the season type deal. I mean, there's so many ways you can go with it.
Mm-hmm. They'll pick the worst, but there are ways. Their other thing is that they're going to use tag team matches.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
well,
beer
I proposed
money.
This to you as well was that at the time they should have if let's say everybody competes in 20 matches,
mm-hmm.
5 of them should be tag teams and 5 of them should be gimmick matches.
Well, the thing
matches.
With it apparently
that again keeps it fresh.
Apparently, the thing with this is that, like there's a beer money match against I don't even know who this Thursday, and it's a series match,
mm-hmm.
and whoever scores the pinfall. Gets the points. It's not the team that gets the points. So if Beer Money wins,
yeah, I don't like
Storm,
that. That's already
no, but,
I already don't like that.
No, but then partners.
That's part
but then partners can have dissension
in TNA.
I know, but they'll actually have a reason.
Yeah, but you know,
but I mean, other than that, I mean, it's still fucking stupid because
I don't like that.
Boy,
you
cried wolf bullshit, but that's what it is. That's there, and that's what I'm saying.
It takes
is
away the whole idea of why tag teams exist. So
well,
it's a stupid thing.
Yeah, yes and no. It doesn't take away the point of why tag teams exist for this. If you're gonna do this with tag teams, okay, then. This is for a singles title. This is for the tag titles. So I can understand the individual mentality is how they want to go with this. But all I know is that it's going to create...
Because
every time you do a tag match, it's going to be the same fucking bullshit because the psychology cannot be any different.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be the same thing
There's only one way to skin that cat.
My point is that, number one, if you're doing this... You shouldn't have the guys – like if you had everybody – if everybody in it was part of a regular team.
Right.
And you had maybe one team.
One goal.
Who was consistently for some reason teaming together, whereas everybody else was teaming with different partners.
Right.
And that was an advantage to them. Then you have a storyline, right?
Well, like
if
beer
you
money.
Have, what's that?
Like beer money.
Like beer money. Exactly, in this case, right? But a heel team ideally, right? But again, the entire point of this thing should be – to establish the best overall wrestler, the best wrestler at not just at singles wrestling, but at tag team singles and gimmick matches, and maybe even some three-way matches, whatever, to make that this guy at the end has the best overall skills, so he's deserving. When you take away, when you force this one person gets the points, then it's you're not rewarding him for being a good overall wrestler. Just to me, a psychology rise it takes away what I thought of. Like
yeah.
to say, what I thought of the idea.
You're aware of who's writing this, right?
A psycho.
Yes. Did you do psycho push-ups?
Yes.
Probably
yes.
Not,
fuck! No. I can't wait. I think were the psycho push-ups or cycle push-ups? I can't.
I don't even know.
They
were fucking
folks,
psycho.
When you see
is what
DDP,
they were.
Though, you'll know what we mean.
Yeah, oh my
He's
god!
He's the man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But anyway, let me get, you know, we're almost, I don't say we're running out of topics, but we've got some stuff maybe we can hold over. It's not necessarily time-sensitive shit. So I thought I might get our other guest on the line, our other lineup. Do you figure that's a good idea?
I think he's going to be in studio, actually. I got to go take a Russo. So why don't we actually, he's here. He's in the living room.
What?
So come in here, yeah, here in the Palacio Studios, gold encrusted, of Home Addy, Big
yeah.
Addy Cool, the ad guy.
Why would,
we have...
I didn't know this guy was in my house, though. That's
he was. Yeah.
And he is.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh, he's not filming anything. All right, well, we've got, a future NBA Hall of Famer, and a man that's been involved in some professional wrestling over the years. We've got Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq. How you doing?
Hello, Addy. It's good to hear from you. It's good to see you. You know,
I'm Shaquille O'Neal, the big Aristotle, the big licorice. Big licorice, because you think I'm going to taste good. You take a snap of me, I don't taste so good. I taste like shit.
So what do you want me? So do I refer to you as
Black
Shaq?
Licorice, of course.
Black licorice.
Yes, just in case you're wondering. Okay. No, all licorice tastes like shit.
Okay, that's good to know. Black licorice. You have had a variety of different.
No, big licorice.
Big licorice. Big licorice. Okay, I have to remember this. I'm going to write this down. Big licorice, you have been in the WWF, WWE, WCW, over your career. What is the angle, I guess, you've most enjoyed being involved in?
Well, to tell you the truth, that sounds like a trick question, and I don't have a trick answer.
Oh. So, okay. Well, your most recent time was as guest host of Monday Night Raw, where you had a stare down with the Big Show. You were involved with Crime Time, but you also would have been on the same show as a lot of different guys. What do you think about some of the new guys? What do you think about Kofi Kingston?
Who?
Kofi Kingston. He's one
sorry,
of the...
I don't know that name, Kofi.
Okay. Never seen Kofi Kingston.
There's a lot of names going around in my head. I don't know the name Kofi or Kobe.
Okay then. Well, you had the you were there in WCW when the night you were part of the Orlando Magic, the night that Hulk Hogan defeated Ric Flair for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. It was you and Mr. T were there. What are your memories of that?
Well, that's kind of like the Paramecium theorem. There is no easy answer.
It's that's true. I got to bring this up here. It's the elephant in the room. It's the big licorice in the room, if you will. Compatriot of yours, former compatriot of yours, has claimed that they have a sex tape of Shaq.
There is no sex tape.
There's no sex tape.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Was his fellow? I don't remember really what his name is, but he's got a sex tape, and he'd a lot of bad people have come looking for him and looking for this sex tape. Some bad gang members in LA, and there's speculation maybe you may know something about that.
I know nothing about that. I don't know anything. There's no sex tape. If there was any sex tape, it would only be with me and your mom. Of course, your mom is so fat, when she jumps in the air, she gets stuck. Your mom is so ugly that even makeup doesn't want to go on her face.
That's true.
Your mom's so poor.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her the other day.
Yeah.
She's kicking a can down the street. Yeah. I asked her what she's doing. She said moving. But you and your mom.
She's going to
recycle
that can.
Your mom was good enough to be a slump buster for me. Are you aware what a slump buster is?
No.
Slump buster is when you're in a slump, personally, or with the team. What you do is, especially for the team, you take one for the team, and you go in there, and you have sex with the gnarliest, fattest, ugliest woman available. For me, Addie, that was your mom. So when you're sitting there talking about a sex tape, what you're doing is really disrespecting your mom. And also what I'm saying to you is, by the way, Addie, fucked your mom. Fucked her hard. Your mom.
My mom, man.
We fucked.
Yeah? Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But no tape then.
No, but I am like the big rose, in that when you give me the ladies, all the women love me because I smell sweet.
Okay, they smell sweat. Okay, well, Shaq, I'd really like to thank you for coming on. And apparently,
I'll give you one little scoop here.
Okay,
I have been in talks with the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
They do want me.
Really? Okay.
Of course, I'm the big shamrock, and that if I am there, that's because they're lucky to have me.
Okay.
TNA, on the other hand, won't have me, because as we all know,
who?
Fuck Russo.
Okay,
he sucks.
Yeah, he swallows.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
That is a fact, just like the fact that Mo is a fat fuck.
He is. He really
TNA,
is.
TNA, I'd just like to say, tell me how my ass tastes. Tell me how my ass tastes.
All right, well...
TNA, tell me how my ass tastes.
Well, thanks very much, Shaq, for coming on. And, we had to let him go there.
Well, I just picked the headset right off of him there. Jesus Christ. That was a little lewd at the end.
Can you just at least get him out of my house then?
Yeah, I'll get
we'll get Bob to do it here.
Yeah, just okay. Well, we got Ralphus, security.
Yes, we do.
We'll get him to escort
him out.
Yes,
we do. He's almost as fat as you. But yeah, I think that was you said all the real topics that I've had. I don't know how we.
I want to hit a quick hit topic.
Okay, let's
just really quick.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Josh Barnett?
I am aware of Josh Barnett.
Okay, for those who might not be, what would you tell them about Josh Barnett?
That I am aware of Josh Barnett.
Josh Barnett is a mixed martial arts fighter.
He is.
He's wrestled professional wrestling in Japan. Was a huge star in Japan in the Pride days. As a former UFC heavyweight champion who's unfortunately had some falling outs with the company, largely associated with him being popped a couple times for doing steroids.
That's what I said.
speaking of popped, but anyways, so what happened was he's been suspended recently for a very long time now. He's a professional wrestling fan, huge fan. Like I say, he's worked in Japan as one. And when he goes into the ring and they announce his discipline, he announces it as catch wrestling or pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And he's one of the first guys I ever saw in mixed martial arts who seemed to get the idea of the interview. Promotion. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing him early on coming out of a match in Pride, and his face was all beat up. And they asked him a question about how tough the match was, and he looks at him and goes, "I am not an animal," like Elephant Man. It was just hilarious. And I was like, "This guy's great." But unfortunately, his issues with Dana White have kept him from having a spotlight here for a long time. Now, due to this suspension, he's been on hard times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And do you want to just fill in people on that?
Well, he did his workout. He fought Brett Rogers just yesterday. Mo hasn't seen the fight.
Please don't spoil it for me. I'm actually watching it while
you're at
home
tonight.
He
was victorious in defeating Brett Rogers.
No, because I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah. And
fucker.
Anyway, he's got his public workout that he's doing, and he's starting to, they're sparring or whatnot, and then
his training partner was not identified in the video. He was only identified as
the Hammer.
Yes,
and
it was
not
a 3-minute. They had a 3-minute worked match.
Well, what happened? It was a sparring session. Yeah, it turned into just a wrestling match, a worked sort of, just like you and your brother when you're kids, you know, just wrestling around in the basement, throwing elbows and backbreakers and stuff like that.
But
right?
The difference was it was good. It was better than any John Cena match I could see in recent history. Honest to God, it was a really good worked match.
Yeah. Well, the thing was is the
poor Hammer though.
I wouldn't say that it was good. It was okay. You know, it didn't have it didn't have water being thrown in somebody's face. So it was just, one of those things that, that doesn't happen all the time. So it just,
I don't. Somebody else was just calling in online, and I was getting into my headset. I hope it didn't come across for the folks.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll find out.
I thought it was a really good work match. I thought the Hammer was screwed because it went 3 minutes, and he needed another 42 minutes.
Well, just to get warmed up. But I think literally what needs to happen here is that Barnett, he really does need to go to the WWF because
he's so perfect. The guy's he's just such a good talker and such
a
good personality.
Good talker.
Now,
he
used this Dusty Rhodes hard time promo. It wasn't as good as Dusty Rhodes, but Dusty Rhodes I think is probably the greatest promo in wrestling history, and that's probably his greatest promo.
Well,
you're asking a matchup for a lot.
Well, Josh Barnett has said what he's been doing is he's been going back and watching Dusty and Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
That's what he did, really.
Yeah,
Dusty Nikita against the Midnight Express feud is what he's been watching.
Exactly.
And that's, he's
well,
obviously...
When he won the worked match, you'll remember, he goes, woo, and then put on the figure four.
Well, they were chopping each other and shit. I think that's how it started, is the chops, right? So, I mean, just one of those things. He's perfect for Vince. He can talk. He can work. And,
now, he doesn't have the...
And he's been popped for steroids.
Yeah, exactly, but... Physically, he is an extremely athletic guy. He's like 36 now, but just a great athlete. I mean, like I said, former UFC champion, a collegiate wrestler, a high-level collegiate wrestler. But despite being popped for steroids, he does not physically have Vince McMahon's ideal look. He cannot seem to lose his baby fat.
Yeah.
No, so that is an issue. But I just thought this was great, and I hope everybody goes and checks it out. I had so much fun with this, and I love wrestling, so does this guy. And I think we should – let's go out on that. I mean, let's bounce, OUT. I just think – what do you think? Anything else left to say?
No, I don't think
we should
so.
Just go out, let's just go out on this, though. TNA, tell me how my ass tastes. Tell me how my ass tastes.
Well, in the meantime – that's it.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
TNA.
Good night, folks.
Tell me how my ass tastes.